Psalm 134 is where we'll be at tonight. I'd like to read the psalm. It's only 44 words. But as we look at this, I trust the Lord will teach us tonight. The title of my message is Working the Night Shift. Working the Night Shift. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Psalm 134, working the night shift. Let's ask the Lord's blessing in our time here together. Father, I pray as we bow in your presence, as we look at these words tonight, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would guide us and that you would teach us. Thank you, Lord, for these dear people. They've come tonight to hear from you. All of us need your guidance and your direction. Again, Father, pray for our dear pastor and his wife. Is there a way? Bless them. Thank you for them and the work that you allow them to do here. Lord, I pray you'll bless this service. May our minds be focused on what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Working the night shift. By a show of hands, who has ever worked what we would call third shift? Has anyone ever? Okay, a decent amount of you. If you don't know what that is, working the night shift sometimes would be at 11 p.m. until 7 o'clock the next morning. Sometimes it's 7 at night until 7 the next morning. But typically, sometimes we call that the graveyard shift or night shift or working third shift. It's challenging at first if you've ever started out in night shift and you've kind of had to adjust. Your body is used to saying, I should be sleeping right now. And the body says, I really am getting tired. But yet you're working and you need to be alert and awake. And depending on what you're doing and what your responsibilities are, you need to be astute. You need to be on key. You need to know what you're doing. Working the night shift. It says in the very first word, it says, behold. The psalmist here is trying to get our attention. He's trying to make sure that we're focused, make sure that our eyes, our mind, and our heart are ready for what's coming next. He's saying, behold. He's keying it in. So he wants the listener to bend an ear and say, what's coming next? He says, behold. The psalmist is commanding and exhorting everyone's attention. And then it says, behold, bless. It says, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. To bless, it literally means to magnify. Now, when you magnify something, you're not changing it. You're changing your perception of it. So when we get a magnifying glass, if you can't see something and you put it under a magnifying glass, you're not changing what you're looking at. You're just making what you're looking at bigger. You're making the object of what you're trying to see, you're making it bigger so that you can view it. It has a lot more clarity. You can see it more clear. So when the psalmist here is saying, behold, bless ye the Lord, he's saying we need to magnify God. We're not going to make God any bigger than what he already is. God is big. God is bigger than what we can even imagine. Doesn't the Bible say that God has things in store that we can't even think about? So for God, we're not changing God. We're just magnifying him to everyone around us, to anyone that would listen. The psalmist here is saying, behold, bless ye the Lord. Magnify him, make him bigger. Carries also the idea of exaltation or praise. When you praise someone, you're giving them honor with your words. So, as it says, behold, bless ye the Lord. He's saying, magnify God, praise him, exalt him, thank him. Is this too close? Yes, sir. Okay, hopefully that will be good. It says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. For your blank there, the very first blank, five times the word Lord is used. However, be careful how you write it. It is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is a different mindset than just capital L, lowercase o, lowercase r, lowercase d. This is Jehovah God. This is the God of the Old Testament that all of the Israelites would have known. It's not a little L, like, you know, Lord someone. It is the Lord, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. It's saying, we're not just going to magnify anyone. We're not just going to magnify the priest. We're not going to magnify the Levites. We're not going to magnify them. There's one person that is worthy of magnification, and that's the Lord. And five times in 44 words, the word Lord is used. Lord is what is mentioned here. It says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. A servant. These servants, as with the context of the psalm, these were Levites. These Levites, what they were to do, we see here they were serving. So what was the job of a Levite? Now we have the completed canon. We have all of the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We have the whole thing. There's no more we need to add and there's none we should take out. It's all there. But the Levites, their job was to take the scrolls and they were to read it, they were to study it, sometimes they would copy it, and their job was to preach it. Their job was to declare it. Their job was to read it and then to declare what it said. They would explain it. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. But it doesn't just say some of the servants. It doesn't say, behold, bless ye the Lord, some servants of the Lord. It says all of them. It doesn't matter if you are the person in this room that has had the most birthdays or the person who is the youngest. You can bless the Lord. And it doesn't matter your age. You are still employed in magnifying God. So say you become bedridden someday. You can still praise God. Let's say that you leave this church and you go to somewhere else and you can't walk or you're bound in a wheelchair or you're not able to do very much. You can still magnify the Lord. You can still bless God because of what He's done for you. There will always be something to praise God about. Because it says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants. In my Bible, everywhere that there's the word all, I've circled it. This is my all Bible. I've circled every word that says all, every time. Because it reminds me that I'm not exempt from this service. I can do this. You can do this. Everyone in the world can do this. How? Why? Because if He is our Lord, we have every reason to praise Him. And all we need is one, but we have many. These servants, these Levites, were all servants of God. We're all a royal priesthood, 1 Peter tells us. We're a royal priesthood. We don't have priests today that act on our behalf. When Jesus died on that cross and the veil was rent in twain, it opened up. Now there's free access. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go to a priest to pray for us? Aren't you glad that we don't have to somehow follow some liturgical pattern to say, oh, I wish I could pray to God, but I can't because there's no priest. God did away with that. He said, you now have access to the Holy of Holies. You can go there. Isn't it great that at night you can pray? Nightfall is coming on us. It's amazing what happens during the night. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night. That prepositional phrase is what I want to focus on tonight. By night. Tonight is different than tomorrow. And the day is different than the night. Working the night shift, just a little under 4% of all of the people in the United States work the night shift. Just a little under that are working the night shift. When most of us will be sleeping, they're employed. While most of us are in bed, they are working. Now, I'm thankful for people that work the night shift. I'm glad there are police officers that work the night shift. I'm thankful that there are emergency rooms that are open during the night. I'm glad that there are people that are willing to adjust their life to work the night shift. If you've ever had to work the night shift, you know that there's quite an adjustment. You see, at night, things go differently. Things happen a little bit differently. Do you know that most people don't see what happens during the night? Typically, most people are asleep, so they're not usually cognizant or aware of what goes on at night. There's a lot of wickedness that goes on at night. Doesn't the Bible say that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil? There's a lot of bad things that happen at night. The Bible says that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that there's light? I don't understand everything about electricity. I don't understand the current and all that stuff. But I'm not going to wait until I completely understand it until I flip the switch. I'm going to flip the switch and live in the light. Because if I waited till I completely understood it, I'd live in the dark the whole time. Because I don't understand electricity. But if I flip the switch, I use the light that is there. We don't always have to understand everything about God, but we do have to obey the light that He's given us. And if you know that you should be doing something, that light is given to you, God requires that you obey. These Levites are working the night shift. Then during the night, there's a different level of movement. There's a different workflow at night. If you've ever worked somewhere, you know that most of the bosses aren't around at night. Most of the people that live in that fancy office and has the view of the lake, most of them don't come in at 2 a.m. Most of them work during the day. There's a different workflow at night. These Levites, what does it say they do? Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. This nighttime, they were burning what we would call the midnight oil. They kept the fire going. They kept the lamps going. The candlestick still had to be burning. You know that there were no sacrifices offered at night. There were none. But yet, these Levites, they had a job to do. It was unseen. It was unnoticed. I mean, who would know if the fire went out? Who would know if the candlesticks went? Who would know if the altar didn't have the incense burning? Who would know? God would. God would know. And in fact, we're going to learn something about night. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It's always important to know what we would call the law of first mention. What is the place in the Bible where something is first said or first mentioned? Genesis 1, beginning in verse 1, down through verse 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, notice, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Adam's job was to name the animals. God named day and night. When we look out and we don't see the sun because of the way the rotation of the earth is, when we look out, We don't see the sun. It is nighttime. God divided the day from the light from the darkness. God divided it. He called the light day and he called the darkness night. God was the one that said what that was. You're blank there. God called it night. God called it night. So we continue on. There is a lady who was active day and night. Luke 2, 36 and 37. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. I find this very interesting that Dr. Luke tells us that there was a lady who served in the temple night and day. I think it's important that he differentiates that because he could have just said she served in the temple with fastings and prayers. She served and she was faithful and, you know, could have told us about, you know, she was a widow and all the stuff that she did. She served God. You know, she served in the temple. But he was very specific. He said, no, no, she's not just there. She's active during the night too. She's doing something during the night. It's not, well, I work during the day, and so when the night comes, my work is done. Not for this young lady. Her job kept going night and day. A lot of things can happen during the night. Your blank there is a widow woman. A widow woman. Who would know if she prayed day and night? Are there people that are around there? Were they watching her? Well, anyone who would have been in the temple that night or at night would have known and would have heard her pray. It's 2 a.m. and that Levite is going to change the midnight oil and going to put stuff in the temple and move the candlestick and make sure this is right and maybe sweep that up. And maybe he hears over in the corner, he hears this young lady praying. At 2 a.m, he's thinking, am I hearing things? No. She was active. You know, whether the sun goes up or the sun goes down, you can pray. And there are times during the nighttime when all else is quiet, when everyone else has gone to bed, and it seems like the hubbub of your home has gone quiet. Do you know that God isn't sleeping and he's ready to hear it when you pray? Sometimes the sweetest prayers are when everyone's gone to bed and no one else can hear you. And you've got a burden on your heart that you and God know about, and you sit down in your chair and you get out your Bible and say, Lord, I just want to talk to you. Because it's nighttime. Yes, you should be in bed, but you're willing to forego a little bit of sleep because you say, you know what, Lord, I need to pray about something. There's something heavy on my heart, or I'm burdened about this in my life, or I'm burdened about this with a child, or a parent, or this situation, or something going on. There's never a bad time to pray. This lady prayed night and day. It goes on. It says that they were standing. Turn back to Psalm 134. Turn back there. Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand. It says they were standing. There's your blank. These servants are standing in the Lord's temple. And what are they doing? They're blessing the Lord. So, how do we learn about these Levites, what they were? Turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. David set this up. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning in verse 31. 1 Chronicles 9, beginning in verse 31. And Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shalom, the Korahite, had the set office over the things that were made in the pans. And other of their brethren, of the sons of the Kohathites, were over the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. Verse 33. And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free. Why? Why were they free? What was their duty? This is what it was. For they were employed in that work day and night. Singers. David, when he set this up, God wanted him to say, listen, there's going to be people in the temple that are going to work the night shift. There's going to be people that are there. They're going to move the showbread. There's going to be people over here doing this. And there are going to be people who are going to sing at night. That was their job. That was a part of what they were supposed to do, sing at night. These singers were appointed and they were employed by God to sing day and night. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles 6, just a few pages back. 1 Chronicles 6, beginning at verse 31. And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rested. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then they waited on their office according to their order. David assigned singers in the temple to a ministry of praise. When did this happen? It happened at night. And you say, well, does anybody really know what goes on at night? Just because you're sleeping, that doesn't mean that there's not activity going on. Because God never sleeps. And when David set this up, he said, I want there to be a perpetual and a continual offering of praise, of magnification, of blessing of the Lord. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 25. 1 Chronicles 25. 1 Chronicles 25. We'll begin in verse 5. 1 Chronicles 25, verse 5. All these, who he just mentioned in verse 1 through 4, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hand of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, notice how many there were, was 288. 288 people were employed in singing with psalteries and harps and cymbals at night. 288 people, verse 8. And they cast lots, ward against ward as well, the small as the great, the teacher as the scholar. David had separated these three families. Verse 6 says they served under their father, and verse 8 said that lots were determined to figure out who would serve when and who would serve where. Standing is what they were doing. Turn over to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. You talk about standing. Psalm 135. The first three verses say this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. These people were employed, and part of their employment was when they were to work, they were to stand. We stand in our services many times out of reverence for the word of God or singing a song, right? Not only is it better airflow, but it's a sign of worship to the Lord. We stand. What are some other things that we stand for? When a judge enters a courtroom, out of honor for that judge, we stand. Now, you may not respect the person, but you certainly should respect the office. So then, when a judge comes in, what do they say? All rise. Why? Because the judge is upholding the law, and when you stand, you're giving honor to the person who is to uphold that law. That's what that means, okay? Where else do we stand? We often stand at funerals. We stand at military events, right? We stand at parades. When the flag goes by, if you don't know this already, you should stand. there are men and women that gave their lives for that country. You should stand for the flag when it goes by. And if somebody else is sitting down, if they can, hey, you should stand up. Take your hat off, put it over your heart. Because we honor America. You can live in any country you want to. I'm going to stay here. We should stand for the American flag. That flag is half-mast. We stand at attention. We give honor to men and women who maybe were lost at sea or during Memorial Day or Veterans Day. We honor that. We honor the flag. Why? We stand up. Because we respect it. Anybody that doesn't respect the American flag has never been handed a folded one. We honor the American flag. It then goes on. It says, not only do they stand, but verse 2, go back to Psalm 134. Psalm 134, it says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It says there, they were to lift up their hands in the sanctuary. What were they doing? I mean, that is an active thing, right? When they were praising God, do you know that really there's not a whole lot of people there? They're not doing this to make a show. They're not doing this as some kind of a concert. They're not doing this as some kind of an experience. They're doing this because God has not only told them to bless the Lord, but they have such a desire to praise God, such a desire to honor Him and magnify Him and glorify Him that they say, Lord, we praise you. They're not doing it for a show. They're not doing it so the person next to them thinks that they're spiritual. They're doing it because they have such a deep love and such a deep care and such a deep compassion in their heart that they want to be faithful doing what they're called to do. These singer servants were worshiping at night. They were active. Their worship continued into the night. And notice, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Don't you think that these Levites had something to sing about? If you really think about it, you could spend the rest of your life thinking of things to praise God for. You could. And maybe you don't praise Him for everything you have. Maybe you praise Him for everything you don't have. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I don't have, you know, this in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you took that out of my life. Thank you, Lord, that you... There's a myriad of things that we can thank God for and we can praise Him. The night could go on and on and on. And these men who stood there, their hands were in the air and they said, Lord, thank you. I don't think they were doing it for a show. You know that you don't have to talk very loud because God will hear you. Let's say you don't have a big booming voice. Let's say you're as quiet as a church mouse. You know God can hear you just as much as He can hear somebody with a PA loudspeaker. God hears the silent cries of a silent heart. God can hear that. These Levites, they were working the night shift. They were in the temple. They were raising their hands. What was in their hearts was affected because they did that. We go on here. It says in verse 3, the Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. If you'll notice in verse 1 and verse 2, our job was to do the blessing. We're to bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That onus is on us. We are the ones blessing. But now God changes that. He says in verse 3, you know what? I see the praises. I see your magnification of me. I see how you're trying to do what's right and you want to exalt me. And I see that. You know what God does? When they were obedient, God chooses to bless them. Because they were the ones blessing God. Now in verse 3, God is the one blessing them. It says that verse 1 and 2, we bless the Lord. But in verse 3, God is the one that blesses us. He created everything, and He's going to bless us. They were the ones that were magnifying the Lord. They were the ones by night working the night shift, saying, God, everyone else is asleep, but my hands are up because I can praise you. I'm not looking for anyone to hear what I say or notice what I'm talking about, but God, you know, and my hands are up because I love you and I praise you and I magnify you. They did that all night. Has God ever done something for you so unbelievably amazing that you just couldn't go to bed? You had to stay up. I mean, you just couldn't go to sleep. I mean, the endorphins were going. Your catecholamines are surging. You've got all this cortisol running through you. You're just awake. You can't go to bed. You're just sitting there. Oh, Lord, thank you. God, thank you that this happened. Thank you that you worked this out. Thank you that this. I have to believe that these Levites, as they're going through the motions of night shift and they're moving this over here and they're active, you know? I mean, you can't be half asleep when you're playing with fire at night. You're burning the midnight oil and pouring that in and all that stuff. What if he's got one eye open and one eye shut? I mean, he's going to burn the place down. You can't do that. You got to be awake. You got to be alert. If you work third shift, I want you awake. Semi-drivers that drive third shift, I want you awake. These Levites were working the night shift. They were awake. Their hands were in the air. They were praising God. They were the ones that would praise them. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. What were they doing? Here's your blanks here. What did they serve God with? Here's the first one. The right structure. The right structure. How do we know that? Because they were appointed. We read it in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and 25 as well. They were appointed. What did they do? They had the right structure. They did what God told them to do. And when they cast lots for who's going to work the night shift on Friday and who's going to work Saturday and who's going to work Sunday, they were appointed. They were obedient. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. Number two, they had the right service. What were they doing? It doesn't just say that they were cleaning the temple, although I thought they probably would. It doesn't just say that they were filling the oil. It doesn't just say that they were cleaning up the blood from the sacrifice. It doesn't just say that they were tidying things. It says that their service, they were blessing the Lord. Their hands were in the air in the sanctuary, and they were praising God, not for a show, because who else is going to be awake? They were doing it because they had such a burning in their heart to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for working this out in our family. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for working. They had all kinds of time to praise God for. There was the right service. And lastly, they did it with the right spirit. It says, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. They were active. Their hands were in the air and they were saying, thank you, Lord, for doing this. Has God ever done something for you so amazing that you just wish you could like pull God down and hug him? Have you ever done that? And you just wish that, oh, Lord, I just want to hug you. I just want to say thank you for what you did. Not man's conniving or how we worked it out, but it was God. See, when God does something, God receives the credit. And we should never steal the honor that God has. And these Levites, that they were employed, they had the right structure, they had the right service, and they had the right spirit. Because you know what? No one usually sees who works at night. No one usually sees what goes on because most of us are sleeping. Most of us are in the comforts of our own home. We're ready to go to bed. The day is winding down. Our minds are slowing down. And we're getting ready to sleep. Not these people. These Levites, they were faithful. Night often brings uncertainty. It often brings fear. God understands our fears. God understands what brings us worry and what brings us anxiety and what brings us toil. The Bible says that we should not stay awake at night and worry about stuff. God is awake. Give him the burdens and you go to bed. Because God's going to be up all night. You let him deal with it. These people, they were blessing the Lord by night. They were praying day and night. Anytime we are afraid, we can go to the Lord. Can I encourage you tonight to work the night shift? I have no idea what's going on in your heart. I have no idea, but I have to believe that in a group this size, I have to believe that there are those of you in this room that have burdens that just never made the prayer list. They just never got written down. You were not really sure what to say. You weren't really sure what to write. And you didn't want to write it wrong, but yet you didn't want to seem like you were drawing attention to yourself, or you weren't really sure. If that's you tonight, can I encourage you to work the night shift? When you go home tonight, maybe don't go to bed right away. Maybe stay up, and while the sun has already set, and while the world is slowly coming to a close for the night, you can stay awake. You say, Lord, I'm just going to bless you tonight. I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to praise you. But Lord, I got something to pray about. God, you know what's on my heart. You know what's there. You know what didn't make the prayer list? Pray about it. Anything that makes us pray more is good. Anything. None of us would want anything that would be hard or a trial. Trials never come at the best times. But anything that causes us to get on our knees and say, God, I need you. I need your help. That's what these Levites were doing. They were saying, Lord, I'm praising you. I'm working the night shift. I want to encourage you to do that. If it's late, if the Lord wakes you up at 3 a.m., For whatever reason, maybe you need to use the restroom, or God just woke you up, or the Holy Spirit woke you up. Say, Lord, what do you got me awake for? Do you want me to pray for somebody? And the first person that comes to your mind, pray for them. It's honest truth. I know that there are times in my life that myself and there are people I know that God woke them up at a very odd hour and said, I want you to pray for so-and-so. And then they would pray for them. And sometimes the next day, sometimes weeks, sometimes years later, they say, you know what? There was that one time on that one day, you know, that God just woke me up and asked me to pray for you. And then that person will say, wait, when was that? When? Oh, it was during that time that I was having a difficult time and you prayed and God really turned the tide. We have no idea what our prayers will do, but God does. We can work the night shift. You know that the lights shine the brightest in the darkest places? Where you work might be really dark. Where you work might be a really challenging place, but if you have a light, it can really shine. It can. You know, if we were to go outside tonight, and it's dark, if we were to go outside and we were to look up, you know what we'd see? Stars. Do you know that during the day they're still there? It is only when it's night do we see the stars. Oh yes, now we know from science and we know from the Bible that God hung the stars in space. Yeah, he made the stars also. Oh yeah, that was just a glib. I just made the stars. But we'd never know they were there if it wouldn't be nighttime. When you have a problem and you pray for something and you go out at night and you look up at those stars, they're there during the day, but we don't always appreciate things if we just are there during the day. We'd never know what the Big Dipper looked like if it wouldn't be for nighttime. We'd never know what Arcturus and Orion and all those other ones, we would never know what they are. Working the night shift. Here's your last blank. Isaiah 26:9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. You can desire God anytime, day or night. But these Levites, that was their job. They were working the night shift. And you and I can do the same thing. We can desire God. My friends, God works the night shift. The Bible says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never goes to bed. God never gets tired. God never worries about anything. God's not wringing his hands going, what am I going to do in your situation? God already knows. God just asks that we get on our knees and we say, Lord, what do you want me to know about my situation? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be? Can I encourage you tonight to work the night shift? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've been able to be here tonight. Thank you for these dear folks. God, I just pray for all of the needs that are represented here. Lord, you know the hearts of the people here, and you know everything that is weighing heavy on them. Lord, I pray that tonight they would go home, and as they look up, as they look out and see the stars, I pray that they would pray to you, the one who made the stars, and that you would give us wisdom and that you would guide us. Lord, thank you for this study tonight. I just pray that you'll impress upon us the truths of your word. Thank you, God, that we can, day or night, we can pray to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.